Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, August 11th, 2022. Today on The Ether, all things Cosmos, hosted by CryptoTake. Let's take a listen.
Good day, everybody. Good day. We're just getting started here. What's going on, Queen? What's up, Terra Space? What's up, guys? Hope you guys' day is going well. We just started it. Admittingly, I'm getting situated here with my food. Just got back from jiu-jitsu, so I'm starving. I just sent out some messages trying to get people in here, but we're going to talk about basically everything that's happening in the charts, like we always do. Give you guys my two cents about what I'm seeing fundamentally and what I'm seeing in my charts, especially when it comes to the Cosmos ecosystem. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to cover a little bit of hot topics that are going around in the social space of our ecosystem, because of course, there's always something to talk about in the Cosmos. So, if you guys don't mind, though, give me a quick second. I'm going to take a couple of bites of this chicken breast because I'm dying. Again, I know, Queen, it's basically you and me because Terra Spaces just doesn't talk. But if you guys do, it's always open. You guys can feel free to just request. I'll get you guys up here. We can talk about anything. But in the meantime, we're going to wait a second and let some people funnel in. I'm going to take a couple of bites here. And yeah, I hope you guys are having a good day, though. Queen, I think this is the first time you've stopped into a space, actually, that I've hosted, at least. So, yeah, I'm happy to have you here. Hope your day's going well. There's nothing like some food right after getting rolled around in jiu-jitsu. Nothing like it. Again, guys, excuse me. Let me just take a couple of bites. I'm dying. What's up, Crypto Mel? What's going on? Excuse me for speaking with my mouth full. We're just kind of hanging out. Spaces, I gotta figure out, man. I know it's my fault, dude. I gotta figure out how to get you. I know it's super simple, but I'm a dummy when it comes to Discord. I gotta get you that permissions in the channel so you can it just updates automatically. I promise you, I'll work on it. I'll work on it, man. We've had a lot of things going on, though. Oh, I wonder if anybody's gonna show up. It is midday. It is lunchtime for most people, so I wonder if everybody's eating or whatnot. Let me take this. Copy link, throw it in my Discord. Try to get some more of these people up in here. Up in here. Actually, I'm gonna throw it in a couple of Discords that I'm in. Just a couple of Discords. Because I got like 50 Discord groups that I'm part of. Let me see. Bada bing, bada boom. All right. Give it a little bit more. It might be a short recording, Spaces. Nobody wants to do nothing. Let's see here. Let's see what the charts are looking like while we're sitting here waiting. Getting that resistance coming in. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs got rejected again off that rejection line. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. What's up, Ben? I'll get you up here real quick. Add a speaker, and we got that resistance happening here. What's going on, buddy?
You and my Terra Spaces account, so I figured I'd hop in and say, hey, Terra Spaces account's on like two different desktop computers, so it just records. But if you ever see Finn, that's usually the one I'm on my phone. So
I figured that much right when you popped in. I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably just sitting there recording all
that stuff. Yep. I got the one machine in front of me I edit on, and then I got two in the back that do all the recordings and shit, and it's just constantly back and forth all day.
Watching them. Yeah, no, you what's up, Kelly? I gotta ask. I don't know how many people actually listen all the way through to your recordings, but I know you have a pretty dope ass you're spinning bars. I mean, is that like, did you come from like the hip hop scene initially? Like, is that where you originally started?
Yeah, I definitely started like writing poetry when I was a kid before anything. And then I just really liked writing. And then as I got a little older, I got into hip hop. Like I was born in the 80s. So I like grew up with MC Hammer and like Tag Team and Vanilla Ice and like Two Live Crew. Yeah,
you're my generation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're in our 40s. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I was 81.
Yeah. So. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Class of 99, baby.
There you go.
But yeah, then I just got into like taking the poetry and putting it to some music. And then I just kind of like got more and more into hip hop. I started the podcast thing in 08 just as like a fun little outlet. Just me and my homies get around, talk and have like local bands on, shit like that. But I didn't know back then that it was like preparing me to like have this crazy audio workflow, you know, like 15 years later that I'd have to be all ready for. So I'm definitely.
Hey, 2008, that's when the podcast scene was like popping off. That's when it just started popping off, right? Around there.
Yeah, it seemed like everyone that started in like 06 to 08 that stuck with it, like either and was good and like ended up with deals with like XM. Or other stations, or they just like blew up and did their own thing. I was like a little bit too late for that. And I was just like, I was a water delivery guy in a small Montana town. So like, I wasn't able to interview like the kinds of people that some of these other shows were interviewing and shit. So we just did our own thing and had fun, you know, bunch of redneck Montana shit.
That's all good though, man. But now look at you. Now look
I know
you.
We're like the all CNN all over here, man. We got like fucking the whole Al Jazeera equipment set up and everything.
Hey, what's up, Nina? What's up, Jim?
But yeah, there's a ton of like different people that do TA, and like I don't usually listen to it because a lot of it to me just seem like woo woo magic shit. But like the stuff that you talk about actually like makes sense in my head. So I definitely appreciate the approach that you take with it and how you explain everything. Cause like a lot of us don't know shit about fuck when it comes to trading, you know, like we're like blue collar cats, you know, man. So we just get into this and we're a little lost. So it's good to find people like you that aren't just like trying to pump and dump bags and shit. You know, you're like teaching actual fundamentals and stuff. So,
oh yeah. You know, I'm in the mud with like, The way I look at myself, and I don't. It makes me always feel weird when I talk about myself. And people always, I'll be honest with you, people always ask me like, you know, to go in more depth and stuff like that, like where I've come from and talk. But as crazy as it sounds, because I do like to talk. I mean, I can talk to a damn tree. I don't like talking about myself in that kind of ways for some reason. I just feel like an average person that's just in the mud with you guys, and like I don't feel like I'm some dude on the internet and stuff. I literally feel like I'm talking to my brothers and sisters sometimes. And I'm like, I don't want my brothers and sisters to lose money. So like, not that I know it all, but I mean, I've made a pretty good little lump sum in my lifetime to where I literally can just stay at home and not do shit. Like I'm at that point now where it's like, you know, it's a nice feeling. And I don't want other people to be able to, you know, I don't know if they'll get there from the stuff that I say, but you know, I feel like there's something to say. And I agree. Like the reason why I started this, honestly, it's because I watched everybody else too. And I always felt like they would tell me TAs, and I've been doing this for 20 years, right? Like people say they're TA specialists and all this other stuff. And it's all lies, dude. All of that shit is lies. You are like to claim that you're, it's one thing to be a technical analysis and understand it and know like Elliott waves and all these other theories and the fibs and all this other swirly bullshit things. Like it's all fine and dandy, but like, the real truth of the matter is, and nobody will tell you this because it's all a subscription, you got to get the clicks, you got to get the views kind of thing. TA is just a lagging, it's a lagging sign of what fundamentally just happened out there in the world.
It's just like, it's heuristics, right? You're just looking at the past and deduce, trying to figure out what could happen potentially and then probably holistically in the future, and then you just give them different weights, right?
Yeah, exactly. All it is a delay response. Like what you're seeing on there is realistically psychological warfare, and it's just habits that you're looking at, dependent on like what situational thing happened out there in the world fundamentally, right?
And right. I always thought like it would make perfect sense if you were doing TA in a vacuum with AI. There was no emotion, no environment, like none of those variables in the equation. Then it would be pretty spot on, I think. But because you have all of these extrinsic things hitting, you know, like having a weight on the market, like you can't predict that.
Well, and then you have the emotional human factor of it all, right? Like, excuse me. Again, humans are irrational. Humans act really fucking weird sometimes. And even if they have gone through the same scenario before, like what I was going to say earlier to kind of like go back, basically there's nothing new in the world. There really is not anything new. We've gone through wars. We've gone through crashes. We've gone through plagues. We've gone through just about fucking everything, right? Like the only thing we haven't gone through is when robots get alive and they start taking us over and shit like that. Like we haven't done that yet, but we've basically done everything fucking else. And it's funny because if you go back and look at how people respond in the markets using the charts, you can gather averages and statistics and probabilities just by looking at what they've done in the past in similar situations, right? So, excuse me, the damn chicken that I was eating is trying to kill me. That's all it really is. So it's just to go back to your point, it's really funny how people, like, that's their claim to fame on YouTube or on Twitter Spaces, they know TA. Like, I'm like, whatever. Dude, do you know what's fundamentally happening and stuff? Like, because you don't know anything unless you have your finger on the pulse of what's happening out there on a global scale fundamentally. Like, and you can't, the hard thing about that is you cannot ignore one side of the planet. It's like saying the moon is always bright. Like, there's a whole dark side of the damn moon that people are always ignored that's happening at the same fucking time. And it's like, it's just funny. Yeah. So I like
the whole claim to flame. I think we should start using that. This is my claim to flame right now.
Claim to flame.
But yeah, you're right. Because like, if you think about it, the human emotion thing, like there's only a certain set of emotions. So if you can map that to different things in the market in the past, you can kind of figure out what could it possibly happen in the future based on those emotions. Like, we haven't gotten zombies or a meteor hit yet, but yeah, you could kind of figure out how people are going to react, you know? What's that thing that we're all just three meals away from, like, complete anarchy or something?
Yeah, there's, like, all kinds of sayings, right? I think it's, like, 8 paychecks or so many paychecks away from being fucking broke and stuff like that for most people. Thank God I'm not in that. But, like, yeah, it's all statistics and stuff like that, but... It's just, I consider myself more of a fundamentalist than anything else. And then I just, you know, I kind of know what I'm looking at charts. And it's funny when people try to overcomplicate their charts and what they show people out there just to make it look fancy so they can get views and kind of like, you know, cement their or verify their reason to being and stuff like I can show
it's just
you
a flex, right? Yeah. They're just like measuring dicks at that point. Exactly. Like, I know these waves and equations and all that shit.
Yeah, bro, I can show you things really simply. And I try to do that on my show. Like, yeah, I use some patterns. They're there and stuff like that. But like, really, all you really need to know is how to see past support and or resistance and then be a fucking realist about it. That's all you got to do.
Like, bro, I grew up with a spirograph. I'll draw that shit all over. Exactly. Like, come at me. All right. Well, you got a room now. I'm going to head back over and get my editing done. But I just wanted to pop in and say, hey, man, definitely. All good. Maneki gang, yo. Peace
there
out.
There you go. All right, man. Hey, Nina, while you are here, I don't want to put you on the spot. I did would love to ask you a couple of questions if you have a moment about Loop. And I know traders actually delayed and stuff like that. But if you could fill in the people a little bit about, you know, maybe what's happening or what you guys are expecting or like what the delay was at all, like we would definitely appreciate that. I am super, super anxious. I want to get my trader. So. Yeah, there you are. Put you on the spot. I put you on the spot. What is going on, girl?
Hello, guys.
Hey, hey, hey.
You were having a very interesting conversation, you know?
Yes.
I was super engaged there. Yeah, guys. So basically, we had to reschedule the launching of the marketplace. It's going to be next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The decision was made because of a couple of things. Like, one is it's our first collection and we really wanted to go well. And we wanted to secure a bunch of things there. So to make like the launch in the most secure possible. And then the dev said, like, you know, let me try it a couple of days more. And we were like, are you seriously? But okay. So we said, like, that's the priority. That should be always what we look after. And we were like, okay, it's going to be like 4 days more. And also at the same time, in the other hand, we had a bunch of new people coming to Cosmos in general that were new. Uh-huh. So I don't know if you guys saw that we had to even make like how to create a Kepler wallet and how to fund your Kepler wallet. And then there was people also from Ethereum that were asking like, hey, how can I get some funds from Ethereum to Juno? So we're creating all those videos and we're using this time to test all the security that we have to test and to make it as smooth as possible for the launching. And then at the same time to create all this content and be able to just get to more people that we're already asking for that. So it's been actually a very interesting journey. We had a lot of support. We're super happy. The people has been the absolutely best. So yeah, we just want to give the best that we can for them.
I don't blame you guys. Honestly, like, I think that's the right call. I hate when people get all up in arms about a delay of any sort, especially when it's, you know, the first one and whatnot. You know, we have a saying in jiu-jitsu, it's position over submission. And I think you guys are positioning yourselves before you guys try to execute a submission that could go awry. Like, that's not the best position for yourselves and or the users that are coming onto your guys' platform. So I get it. I think that's the smarter call. I think if your devs say, hey, give me a second, like, listen to your devs. They're there for a reason, right? So good on you guys. I mean, hey, I wanted to mint today, but I'll wait. I can wait a week. If you're not patient in crypto, you haven't been around long enough in crypto. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no. And also the other thing is that, as we were saying, like, this marketplace is new on its kind. So there is not a bunch of people that we can just ask around or just check around what others have made. But we have to figure out new ways and the best ways to test that so that we are completely sure that everything is running smoothly. So there is a lot of factors playing around. And yeah, we just feel much more comfortable with that. And at the end, it's the experience that we give to everyone. So yeah, that's the most important part for us.
Yeah, I hear you. Like I said, I agree. I think that's always the better decision when there's any kind of, you know, especially if it's a security concern. If it's like something else that, you know, maybe people can complain a little bit. If it's a security concern, like, hey, I am not complaining yet. It's like when people to compare, you know, and I don't want to keep going on that route, but comparing it. But it's like you're sitting on the runway, and the pilots go, oh, well, one of our wings doesn't work, but we're going to take off anyway. You know, it's like, no, I'd rather you go inside and fix that first before we take off. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm happy that it's actually happening. And we're preparing like all these videos that I was telling you about, because we got so much support. Like, I was overwhelmed. I'm so happy for seeing all the support. We're just going to keep with like the announcing and all that, and maybe run a couple of giveaways these days, just to thank to everyone that has been like supporting us and being there for us.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Hey, nobody will complain about a giveaway. Nobody will complain about a giveaway at all. So I'm gonna push just a little bit, and I know already probably what you're gonna say, and it's fine, but I gotta do my job and see if I can get something out of there. You know, we have friends like Rusty and Jerry from the Knots team, and we know you guys have like the Netta launch as well. After have you guys been talking anymore? Has there been any developments about maybe earning some Loop tokens or attaching them as well on those projects, or?
Yeah, so there is a bunch of conversations. I think with each project is very different. Uh-huh. And they always can choose if they want to attach tokens and which tokens they want to attach, right? So you can actually attach both, like two different kinds of tokens. So let's say that you choose maybe Juno and Loop. That is possible. Or you choose Atom and Loop, or Atom and Juno. That is possible. So it's a conversation that we have to have with each project. But I can tell you, each project is a different world, and they all have like very unique ideas and very exciting things coming. So yeah, we're keeping that there. I cannot give you more alpha, but I can tell you that.
You know what I absolutely do love, though, I'll be honest with you, that you guys are treating each individual project as individual unique things, because you know there's a lot of platforms that, you know, they basically, everybody comes and everybody has a similar opportunity, but there's no uniqueness. There's no different, like, you know, things that differentiate each other from other projects, and they are all unique in their own right. So I really do appreciate that. I know a lot of people are like, why can't we get I've had some people message me and be like, I wish we could get Loop tokens with, you know, all of them, because I know some people really want to get a Netta. I've been trying to get one of those damn Netta NFTs since the original idea first came out. And of course it got postponed. It's come down to a thing where it's like, I've wanted one for so long. I just want one. It would be nice. Like some people have been saying, if they could actually get, you know, some Loop tokens added onto that, or if there was an attachment of their own tokens. I think it's super, super cool that you guys are doing that and treating everybody in their own way. And I definitely think it's very, very powerful for NFT projects that have DAOs and or, you know, an extended community that they've already expanded upon to bring into the Loop platform. So it's really, really cool. I'm super anxious and I can't wait for, what was it, next week, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not that far. What's up, Delray? What's up, Ambito? What's up, guys? I see you guys over there. You guys all on your lunch break?
Yeah, they're coming. Come, guys. But yeah, I think it's just going to be like a weekend. So we just got to enjoy the weekend. We will be back. Yeah. Everyone was way too drunk already for minting today anyways. So we're just going to wait a little bit more. But as you say, like, it's very important to treat every single project as it is, because it's very unique, you know. Yeah. Each one manages like different stories, different themes, different like diversity even in the team. So it's not easy, and I don't know how to actually put them all in the same box. Like the only thing that they might have in common is that it's NFTs.
Yeah, that they are an NFT. That's about it. Yeah, they're all different.
Yeah, so like if you actually care about those projects and if you actually want them to be successful and the community to benefit out of that and to have like a good utility out of that, then you have to treat them as they are, as very unique projects.
Yeah. Well, little inside information. I don't think I ever speak about this all too often, but yeah, I can, on a personal level, I can definitely relate to that, because I'm actually an identical twin. And I have a twin brother that's 19 minutes apart from me. So like my whole life has been, you get treated the same with, and it's frustrating. It's like, you're always working for your independence. You're always working for your uniqueness. And whenever, you know, your teachers or any kind of whatever always treats you the same as others, it's hard to kind of like break out and find your community or your support or your base. And I think it the same way. There's a lot of things in life that just translate so well into technology and stuff, because it's all the same. Like when you're an NFT, like I said, you don't want to go to the same platform that's treating everybody the exact same. What if you have something that's totally different than everybody else, but you get treated just like everybody? And it's like, all right, like, you know, so I can appreciate it on a personal level, even though I'm better than my brother, hands down. If he ever hears this, he'll kill me, but I'm so much better than my brother in every single way.
I will have to agree with you in that one, just because I don't know him.
Yeah. My brother actually does streaming as well, but he does it he's totally different. He does like the Twitch YouTube or Twitch like gaming streaming and stuff like that. Not interested in investing, not interested in any of this stuff. Totally different. Totally, totally different. So if you guys ever catch anybody on Twitch that looks exactly like me, I used to be on Twitch, but that's my brother. That's my twin brother. So just letting you guys know, there is, I do have a, what is it called? A dangle gopper or whatever. Somebody that looks like you. I do have one. But yeah,
doppelganger.
So that's cool. Doppelganger. Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's actually great, because you can blame everything on him.
Oh, I still do.
Yeah.
I still do.
It was him. That was not me. Social media. No. That was him.
Yeah. I do it with my mother, and she lives semi close, still in the same state. She asked something. I'm like, nope, my brother did that. And she's like, it has nothing to do. I haven't seen my brother. It's bad. They live real close to me, but I haven't seen my brother in a long time, probably. But yeah, that's, I'm going way off topic there. Anyway, if nobody wants to jump up in here, or Anita, if while I'm talking about the markets, if you want to chime in as well, please do. Again, let everybody know this is always an open space. I kind of just pulled one up because right now I'm honestly kind of bored. I've been looking at the charts and been kind of going over a couple of things, working on some investments in outside of crypto and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw up a space and get to talking about what's happening on the charts and what I realistically think might be happening here in the short term, just in case anybody doesn't get to catch the morning shows on YouTube when I go live. Anyway, right now, I do want to just talk about quickly Bitcoin. On the 4-hour time frame, we are in an ascending triangle pattern right now. And I will be honest with you, it is kind of a stretch because it is a long-term ascending triangle pattern. And I like my triangle patterns to have 5 touches, whether they're descending, asymmetrical, whether they're ascending, it doesn't matter. Like if it's a triangle pattern for me, myself, and this is just the way that I do it, everybody can do TA their own little way. And I just want to say that, like, you do TA the way that it works for you. If you do TA and it gives you the right things that you're looking for and you can make good profitable calls off of it, F what anybody else is saying. Stick to what you do and just do it that way. But right now we are on a pretty large ascending triangle pattern on the 4-hour time frame. It started here on June 15th when we slid down and hit the floor on the 18th. So we came in back here on the 13th and actually hit the floor on, the 18th of June. Since then, we've actually had multiple touches, which is admittingly a lot more than what I like with my triangle patterns. Again, I like 5, but if you're looking at the four-hourly time frame and you just go by the average wicks and the top of the wicks to the bottom and the top, you can see that we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, realistically 9 and now 10 movements in price action to the up and to the downside. So realistically, if I'm being honest with you, I probably would split this in half with my ascending triangle pattern and start it here somewhere around the 13th when we broke up from support and we came up into the triangle pattern on the upside, which makes a lot of difference, guys. What's up, Blau? I'm going to get you in here. If you have, I know Blau, by the way, is one of my mods. He's great with TA. If you can't, no pressure, buddy. But I know you and I, we go back and forth all the time with TA. He always gives me a different perspective and something to think about. But if you get that, feel free to jump in. If you guys are looking at the charts, though, and if you go from, like what I said, the 13th or the 12th, when we look at the symmetrical triangle in that way and we break it in half, you can see that we entered to the upside and we get 1, 2, 3, 4, and now we're on the 5th movement to the upside, retesting resistance for a third time. And usually, again, there's a lot of caveats with this right now. It's really, really weird situation, touch and go situation with the crypto markets and regular TradeFi as well. Usually when you knock on a door on the charts 3 or more times, that's when that door or resistance or support gets really, really weak and you could start actually chipping away at that support or resistance. So again, just for reference, this is the third time currently right now that we got rejected and have knocked on that door. Now, again, on the daily, we came up there yesterday, knocked on it. And right now, if I zoom in and I'm giving you guys my honest opinion about it, we're kind of getting a bit of rejection right now. So again, we've done it for the third time and got rejected. That's not good. Like, it's not good to get rejected for a third time. We don't want that to happen. We wanted to push through on the third attempt and maybe either thread through it for a little while, you know, threading through support and or resistance, but we definitely did not want to start pulling away from that upper level of resistance on the charts for Bitcoin on the 4-hour time frame. So again, not really good, but if you're looking at that same symmetrical triangle pattern as well, that support level that we have on the bottom section of the charts of this ascending triangle pattern is actually hovering quite well with the 200 SMA. It's basically lining up exactly with that 200 SMA. And if you look at the 200 SMA, which is right around 22,317 and projected out over the next couple of days, that's more than likely going to bring us up to about 22,500. Now, the information that is out there on the exchanges is that the shorts are all, what was it, under what I covered it earlier, under 23,000. So price action for us to remain bullish needs to stay above $23,000. And if the bears can push it below or right at 23, that's not good. If we can stay basically where we are right now at 24.1, that's still really good. But we need to ideally stay, in, like I said earlier this morning, right around 23.5 to about where we are right now in order for us to remain our position in a bullish fashion and close options on the weekly time frame this Friday, tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. So again, it's all about these options. It's all about what's on these exchanges as far as these option traders being bearish or bullish, these calls and puts. So we gotta really be realistic with that and watch it like a hawk over the next 26 hours or so, because that's going to tell us what realistically is going to happen for Bitcoin. If the bears get a hold of it and can recapture 23 and below, then we'll slide back down a little bit and maybe come back and retest 22. Hopefully not any further than that, because I have support right at basically 22.5 to 22.6. So that's what I'm looking at right now for Bitcoin over the next 48 hours, if that makes any sense at all. If anybody wants to say that I'm crazy or has a different point of view, feel free to come up here and share it. But that's what I got on my charts. That's what I was sharing earlier, guys. Let me know. If not, I can go into some other assets. If you guys have any other assets you guys want me to chart or take a look at while we're talking about charting, I can definitely do so. But please remember, all I'm doing is giving you guys a delayed signal that, you know, is TA, because I'm more of a fundamentalist. So what's up, Blau?
Yo, how are you guys?
What's up, buddy? I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How's your day going? Well, afternoon now, right?
Nah, it's evening, my friend.
evening, that's right.
Yeah. I thought I'm jumping in too. So
what do you think, buddy? What do you think about these charts right now?
Actually, there are two different things I'm looking out. The first one is probably the
second. I have a question. So this is what you talk about this morning, right?
Yeah. I was trying to speed through it. I try to go through on our YouTube channel every morning in the first section of it. I try to go through charting and just kind of give my brief recap or my points of view or what I'm thinking or seeing in the charts. And then usually on the like later part of it, I'm trying so much better to shorten my streams. But on the second part of it, either we have interviews like when we had you guys on, and then or we talk about like fundamental things that are happening, you know, whether on Twitter Spaces or stuff like that. So,
yeah. So I watched this one during the morning, and now that you explain it again, I can finally get what you were talking about. I'm watching the chart right now. It has a lot of sense to me. I think sometimes we just rush too much when we are trying to just do trading, mm-hmm. And we should actually check all these little things that you are saying. I'm going to start promoting much more of that from your channel. Yeah, it's very useful.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I have a question. What do you think about Ethereum? I've been trading a lot Ethereum. What do you think that it's going on there?
With the merge, I used to be a huge, I'm sorry, Blau, after you can go and finish your thought, but I used to be a huge ETH miner. Matter of fact, I still have all of the GPUs and stuff like that. I have like a lot of them. I think it's when they, you know, I know today they came out with the merge date. I think, what is it, September something, 16th, 11th or something like that, whatever it was. And it looks like, in my humble opinion, I know that's kind of hard to stomach because they've said it a million times, but it looks like they are actually on track to actually get this merge done. And if they can get this merge off with as little, and realistically, I think there's going to be bumps, you know, with it. But I think if as long as they can get the merge going with as little bumps in the road as possible, I still do think that ETH is going to run up. I thought some people are saying double digits with, you know, 10K and above and all that stuff. realistically, though, I think for this year, I think ETH could pop up really, really quickly around that time frame to about 3 to 4K really fast. Really, really fast. Hey, but there's caveats to that too, right? So like, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, hey, I agree, Tank. Which token were you guys talking about before? Were you talking about the overall market?
I agree with you.
Oh, Bitcoin. We were talking about Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, the question is it's hugging that 200-day moving average, and I think this is just a little pump because of
are you talking about like immediate, like with Ethereum? I'm sorry. I thought you meant the overall situation for Ethereum. I'm sorry.
No, I was talking about Bitcoin, because you guys were talking about Bitcoin to begin with. I think I got in on the middle of the conversation. I know you guys transitioned to Ethereum.
Yeah.
But as far as I think you're spot on with the merge, if they've announced a date, this is a big deal for the entire crypto market. That's why we've seen a Ethereum pump in the last week, because the devs, the guys who track the devs, the serious devs that are working on this are finally, they're done with the beta test of the merge chain. I forget what they're calling it. They have a specific name for that chain, but that's the chain that is going to become the main chain, and they're going to merge it into, it's going to be the new chain, Ethereum 2.0. And it's like you said, if they can pull this off, I think one thing a lot of people are paying attention to, they want to be one of the main reasons they're going to proof of stake, at least from my understanding 2 years ago, was because they wanted to be more energy efficient and environmentally friendly. And it's like they can get the green stamp of approval that they're not using as much energy as proof of work. Then I think that's a win-win. But also it could be more deflationary. Ethereum as a token will be deflationionary.
Yeah, it's a number of things. It's like three different things all lumped up into one, which it all basically comes back to the same thing. The green energy narrative, that is just out there in the political world. I'm sorry, I see a bunch of requests, and I'm sorry, I've been bad. I've just been phasing out here. Get you guys up here, but it's that. So it makes them look better in that kind of sense. They basically, with the SEC and the higher ups and whatnot, have basically been giving their pass already. It's just basically the two golden children are going to be Bitcoin and Ethereum, by far. And if they can get themselves to be within that narrative of clean energy, it's just all the better for them. And then also, if they go to proof of stake, it cuts down on the gas fee situation that everybody always complains about. It works on many different levels for them entirely. And then you got the deflationary side of things as well, where they actually, what were they calling it before? Becoming sound money, or no, ultra sound money, or whatever they were saying before. It literally comes down to it. And it's really interesting. I used to follow it a lot, following the burn. There's a website where you can literally follow how much burning at the same time. Yeah. Versus what's being issued. And that's super, super interesting to watch. And I am, again, once you take scarcity into the effect, and then you get it to be cost effective for people to actually use. And then on top of that, they already have a huge TVL. It has a really good chance of popping up. And I'm not unrealistic, but being conservative and realistic with it, coming back up to that 4K, even 5K really easily, really easily, especially with the centralized controls and these groups that have so much ETH and on the ETH that's locked up. We don't need to talk about Lido, but we can. But we got, companies like that or platforms like that that have so much already locked up in these stakings and these platforms that they have, it can easily pop up fast when and if that merge goes off without a hitch. Well, with as less bumps as possible, because there's going to be bumps. But
yeah, I agree. But I also think from like you said, from a token perspective, if the merge goes well, yes, I think the price action could definitely go up. But also, I like some of what I've been hearing out of some of the hardcore ETH people, as far as some of them have been, talking about they recognize that there's going to be other chains, and they want to. It's going to be interconnected. Their interoperability is kind of the future. So I think a lot of some of the hardcore ETH people are starting to warm up to that idea.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard when Vitalik is literally putting out papers and statements literally saying that he sees or he wants Ethereum to be just like Cosmos. Like, kind of hard. So
yeah.
It's coming. It's all coming. Yeah. And all we need, guys, to succeed is, and we don't, I mean, it's obviously easier when we can actually capture TVL. All we need is a sliver from all these other ecosystems with their TVL. And if we just capture a small section of Ethereum's total value lock in their ecosystem and have it, you know, come over via whatever bridge or one day being truly interoperable via IBC or whatever, it's going to be mind blowing. It's going to be mind blowing.
But also with if native USDC gets listed on Osmosis, that's a big game changer for.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think it's going to. If you just look at, if you go to the info tab on Osmosis, and I don't know, it's looking back in hindsight never saves the world, right? But maybe kind of does. Maybe gives you a little bit of ideas of how to do it later. But if you just look at the liquidity that we once had in such a short amount of time on Osmosis, we were at 1.6, almost $1.7 billion.
Yeah, that's all the UST.
Holy crap.
And for people who don't understand, liquidity is the oil of DeFi. That is what makes the engine go. You got to have the liquidity to make it run, mm-hmm. And that's why everyone is all.
Circle will agree to a native USDC or working with them if they know that the liquidity is there. Hell yeah,
mm-hmm.
Hell yeah, or even potentially there. I know it's much more to that, but in my mind, I think Sonny, all he has to do is go, oh, look at here, just look at the past year,
look at how much business we can all do together,
if they bring that on, we can see. Now I'm stuck looking at the liquidity chart. We could see ourselves going from basically where we were in the past, back here in August. I'm realistic, right? Because we don't have the hyper issuance of inflated dollars being thrown out there with stimulus checks and all that stuff. But we could get up back to realistically that six or half a bill, $600-700 million real easily. That when we were stuck between October and the beginning of 2022 in Osmosis, it was liquidity was sitting around 600 or 700,000 somewhere. Yeah. It was teeter tottering back and forth around there. We could easily do that, and I don't think anybody would complain if we just see that pop back up and stabilize somewhere around there at all. That's just such a good stepping and building stone to use going forward.
Yeah, it would be good for Osmosis. I'm gonna probably step back down here and listen in, but yeah, I think I know a lot of people don't like the idea of a centralized stable coin, but I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I understand Circle eventually could, they could do whatever they want with their, if they see your wallet, it's, we saw
that. Well, we're seeing it with Tornado Cash. Yeah.
Yeah. So. If you can, Circle's going to freeze your USDC, and it's you just got to understand the territory, understand the do's and don'ts, if you're going to be dealing with a centralized stable coin, but there's going to be other options in the Cosmos. There's going to be other stable coins. USDC is not the only one.
Oh yeah. Well, they're working on Ultra. They're working on with all the bullshit with Comdex. I think they're still working on whatever they're working on. And I think there was,
Secret and Shade.
Yes.
There's going to be other options. You got IST, USDS.
Thank you. IST was the one I was thinking of, but yeah, they're all coming. They're all coming.
Yeah. Good talking with Chad. I'm gonna go back to listening mode and just listen in for a while. Thanks.
Awesome, Mayor. I appreciate you, man. Hey, real quickly, I know a couple of you guys wanted to come up, but Blau, when we were talking about Bitcoin earlier, I'm still interested to hear your thoughts about what we're potentially looking at. What do you think? You still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, there are plenty of things to watch for, actually, in my opinion. And you were talking about ascending triangle before. Mm-hmm. So I kind of agree on the ascending triangle. I have drawn it a bit differently than you, I guess. I just put a tweet, by the way, about it. For me, it seems that there is a retest of the upper trend line. So actually the triangle broke out a few hours ago. We could argue that, and by now it seems to retrace the upper trend line, which could mean that if it got confirmed as support, that higher prices are on the table right now. But as said, this still needs to confirm. And if it breaks down again from there where it is, there could be easily, or we could entertain the idea that, the price is turning around and we could visit lower prices again. So
I like the way you did your triangle. I just found your post. I actually like that. Yeah, it's I was talking about it earlier, coming into the triangle pattern somewhere around the 11th and 13th as well. But your upper trend line is definitely different than mine. But I see it, yeah. and I like it. I can see exactly what you're talking about, and I agree. I totally agree with that. You like that?
Yeah, like you said, everyone has different styles of trading or charting, and that's totally fine. In the end, it does need to work out for you as a trader. So it depends how we do it.
I do see a couple of things on Market Cipher B. I don't know if you guys use, if anybody uses Market Cipher. I know some people like to use other, oscillators and indicators and stuff, or packages or whatever. I need to start looking. I don't know. I'm scared to mess with my thing. I have a flow and that's what it is. But never mind. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to stick with Market Cipher. But I do see actually right now on the 4-hour time frame, we are getting the RSIs rolling back over the pinch together. We do have a red dot, which usually means that we are going to be selling off a little bit further. It's such a weird time because we are just hanging out right here, and that red dot should confirm in about 26 minutes or so, but it really isn't going anywhere.
No, I mean, the thing with Market Cipher is it's an awesome tool. I still use it, and I really do like to use it. But I think that most people that are using it are really rely on the dots and stuff they see too fast, because a red dot doesn't mean intentionally that the price has to correct a lot.
It could just be taking a breather for a second. Yeah, you're right. You're right. A lot of people don't know how to use Market Cipher.
It gives you indications, but you should not go with the first indication that's giving. Or it's given.
Don't be a dot trader.
Don't be a dot trader, exactly. I mean, that's just dangerous. I mean, if you trade. But I mean, right now, you also, if you still on the Market Cipher, if you check the waves, I mean, you could argue that this could be a trigger wave right now. And we're going to break down even further. But it doesn't have to play out. So,
we've been seeing that on the daily too, right? Like we said that the other day on the stream, like we saw that, and it never even played out. That red dot just went away. So it doesn't have to.
Exactly, just curving up. I mean, if I would trade that, I still would wait for some sort of confirmation. For example, look for volume spikes. I mean, if you get a decent volume spike within the next 4 to 8 hours, you probably could short that. If there is no volume coming in, after all, it remains the same. So eventually we get a bullish retest of the upper trend line.
For sure. Man, hold on one second, guys. I gotta make a quick shout out. Man, I see somebody down there, and I have to put him on the spot. I have to give him a shout out, guys. You guys want to know the guy that got me into Cosmos? He's sitting down there. That guy, DPR. What's up, dude? DPR is the reason, the real reason. He's the guy that turned my head and said, "Tank, shut the fuck up and look at Cosmos. I don't care what you're saying. Go look at fucking Cosmos." He literally he's the guy right down there, man. What's up, DPR? What's good, man. Buddy? Yeah, that guy right there. Literally, I would never have been thought my IBC gang, all this other stuff, never have happened without that man right down there.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you so much from everyone in IBC gang. Yep. Thank you. You made this possible.
Yeah, he has. He knows it. He knows it, man. Love you, buddy.
You made a lot possible for everyone.
Yeah. Anyway, we do have a Madman. I know you're up here. I'm sorry, buddy. What do you think, buddy? What do you think's going on right now?
Shit. All right. Looking at Bitcoin. All right. Well, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm not sure if I agree with it. I think, if anything, my contentions on the matter are a matter of time frame. You know, you may be looking more at, you know, a short term analysis, and I might be focusing more on the broader, you know, the broader approach. But I like to compare price action, you know, historically, to identify any recency bias or see if, you know, price action is trying to echo that. Historically, looking at the drops, I'm sure anyone, you know, would have said, and you look, if you look back at my Twitter post, even I, you know, jumped into it, a theory that Bitcoin was basically following 2018 price action. If that were the case, yes, the bottom, you know, could effectively be in. As a matter of fact, it would suggest that the bottom is in. What I'm looking at is that the way this bottom has formed, though it dropped the way it did, it's not acting the same way as 2018 into 2019 anymore. It's following something new. What I'm looking at is September of 2020. Right? If you look back at, you know, in the August to September range.
September 2020.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
If you pull that up, you'll notice that there was like a Bart Simpson pattern, you know, a Wyckoff distribution in, between August and September. And I think that that was what traded down this this rip to the very low bottom of the 1700s. And we could effectively be pushing our way up in the macro term. I'm looking on a 3-day chart. All right. That's why I'm, that's why I say more.
I know a lot of people love that 3-day chart. I got to start doing that a little bit more.
I look at weekly, monthly. You know, I try to look at yearly if it's large enough and whatnot. So you look back at the Dow Jones and shit like that. You can really get a better idea of you know, what things are doing. But I'm looking at the price action. You know, we're well above the volume weighted moving average, you know, on this time frame. And the volume weighted moving average has fallen below my Bollinger Bands. Now, that would tell me, hey, we, you know, we kind of like peaked out a little bit. We probably want to, you know, test, you know, the lows, maybe the, you know, an area of the Bollinger. And that kind of aligns with what you were saying before to, for a price support at, you know, the mid 2200s. I mean, 22,000s. But if we're following that September rally, this shit could shoot the hell up. You know, to support that, I was originally looking at Atom BTC and ETH BTC, and I was, you know, monitoring, you know, the potential for higher lows over time, because, you know, the Bitcoin maxis will say everything's, you know, going to zero against Bitcoin.
Right.
They don't ever want to look at BNB against, you know, BTC. They don't want that smoke. You know,
they really don't.
They get quiet, they block you and shit like that, and they try to, you know, force a narrative. You know, you can't force a narrative. You can't make Bitcoin do something. Bitcoin's going to do what the fuck it does.
Yeah,
and that's something that, you know, that this price action will remind us all to. And if that's the, you know, that's the case, you know, if we have a scenario, a deflationary event with Ethereum, if we have a deflationary event such as a seizure and censorship of Tornado Cash, like that really puts a huge hit against all the scam, against the entirety of the scam market. There's a scam market within the crypto market, and if the crypto market could live without the scams, there'd be a higher potential for upside. And I think we're you know, we're laying a foundation to see that moving forward.
Yeah.
So we could see this thing, you know, rally to, you know, 26 to 28, and, you know, and retest its way, you know, way back down. There's a lot of, you know, like outside crypto narratives, because you can't just look at the crypto charts and think that you're beholden to what you see there. The crypto markets are often beholden to the equities and commodities markets as well. You know,
100%.
for that matter, there's a lot of shit going on, obviously, with Russia and Ukraine, China and Taiwan, China and inner China, because the people of China aren't really, they're not really for, you know, what their government's, you know, doing and whatnot.
Yep.
So there's a lot of economic narrative to suggest that we have huge pressure, you know, to push towards the downside. But if that doesn't play out, which I see in this, you know, in the charts, we could be ripping back up to the, you know, to the higher bands of, you know, 70,000. No, not 70. I see resistance at the mid 40,000s.
Oh yeah, 40 is going to be a critical level, along with a few others on the way. But like in short term, I just realistic. I said this earlier in the YouTube stream. Like I don't care about the rip. I want a 25 to 26 steady, slow and steady move, and then we can come up to like 28, 30, maybe even 31, and go sideways there. Like that's all I want.
I think that's exactly what's happening. We're just getting slow and steady, you know, back to the top. And I think in that scenario, people are going to realize the shit's not coming back down. Yeah. You know, for one, you know, before I continue, I'll admit I didn't get the a chance to watch the YouTube. I had it on my screen, and then I saw my my phone notifications that, you know, Cosmos Space was happening. So I dove in and I saw you talking, you talking on a screen, and I'm like, shit, which do I listen to first? I'm like, well, this one's already recorded. Let me hop into this one. And fuck yeah, you're still talking price action, so I don't even have to watch the video. Not that I don't want to watch the video, I want to see what you were talking about before, but I wanted to chime in on that particular piece. Shit, I dove too far into that prior point.
Welcome to my world. I do that every day on my channel, bro. I get so sucked.
Shit.
No, it's all good. I agree with you. I've been saying the same things for a while now. I even said it on my channel a bunch of times. Like, you know, I might be wrong, and there is a bunch of fundamental things out there in the world that could definitely make that play out. But I do think that more likely than not, we've already seen the bottom, and I've taken my positions because of that a long time ago. And to be very, very honest and transparent with everybody, I think I did it sometime last week. I've already resecured my initial investments from the positions that I've taken at that bottom. It might be crazy. Some people are like, oh, what? Like, but my base hitting strategy, my strategy is not to swing for the fence every single time. It's to make smart moves over a long period of time with my investments, secure my initial investments when I can, take some profits, and then hold on to free and clear assets for the long term. And so like all of this, like, again, it's so much easier when you do that. It's easier for me to say all these things, but that is where I'm coming from when I say a lot of this stuff. But like, I really do think that we have a really good chance, especially if we can just get through this week's option close. That'd be a big, not a huge one, but that'd be a big little win for us. And then I do want to put like some of the real big concerns that are out there. I know Evergrande I think it's actually on the 14th for this month, has a really small interest payment, like one of the smallest ones they have. So that note's going to float. Like that one's going to go. It's going to go down the little river. They're going to float their boat. It's going to be absolutely fine. I will say in the later part of this year, though, they have principal payments that are fucking massive. They have, I think it's in October. I don't have it up in front of me anymore, but I think it's in October where they have like almost close to $2 billion that they need to actually make as far as a principal payment. Now, mind you, a lot of people are worried about that. I will also tell you they've had not as large as that, but they've had pretty large principal payments in the past before. And they have worked with them. The people that they owe debts to have worked with them in order to kind of manipulate it and draw it out even further, because they know, like, you know, it's like when somebody owes you money and you know that they only make so much money, like you're going to say, don't give me your whole damn check and all that stuff, because you want them to still stay employed just sometimes so you can keep getting something. You're going to make deals. You're going to make the wheel turn a little bit so that you can delay it, maybe extend it out further and lessen the load on them so that you can keep getting that that debt back. So they're more than likely, I know a lot of people are worried about them, but more than likely that humongous interest payment that they have to, I think it's October, where they have like two principal payments, one smaller and then another one's like humongous. But I think they're gonna make adjustments. They're gonna probably more than likely be late on it, but they're gonna be late in cahoots and in talks with their debtors. But
Yeah, so like, that's what I'm seeing. That's the one thing I am worried about. But then again, you talk about like China and what's happening over there. You got to understand, like, even with Russia too, I will say, like, I know Twitter might be censoring me. The people of Russia are over this war. I guarantee you they're fucking over it. They don't want it. For the vast majority of the citizens probably don't want this fucking war. And the vast majority of the Chinese citizens don't want any kind of conflict or extra bullshit happening as well. They don't want it. They're already in a weird, weird situation economically in their country, right? So, like, you don't want extra sanctions. You don't want extra fucking restrictions being laid on you guys. And you definitely don't want a full-fledged war. It's a lot of posturing. It's a lot of maneuvering and a lot of peacocking is what I like to call it that's out there. But again, when it comes to putting my investor hat on, spending my money, I've already taken my position. I think that we've seen the worst of it. And while there are still some risk, no risk, no reward. You got to sometimes be in it. So, mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I see. That's what I see.
The bearish narrative would be to look at price action back in 2001 during the dot-com bubble crash. A lot of, you know, like if you pull up the charts for Amazon, you can see that they had a similar, distribution event that Bitcoin, exhibited, into 2021 into now, by which they got the drop that we just got. And upon this particular rally, it nukes all the way, all the way down.
Yeah, it nukes further.
Now, of course, what separates the two is that one has a finite supply and the other one, will go ahead and just split their fucking, stocks.
Yeah, they'll just keep splitting it indefinitely. Yeah, I can fractionalize everything.
And that might be, that might be the make or break case where, that sets this, this thing completely apart. I don't want to sound bullish. I used to be bearish as fuck. I always wanted pain in the market. I mean, not to.
It's good to be a bear
at the low, but I needed to. I'm a fan of proving things beyond reasonable doubt or certain, or suspicion, and I got to look at at everything. So of course, I started tuning in a little bit more heavily when I was watching your YouTubes, and you're like, why should it go down even further? Why should it go down even further? Answer that. Of course, and you're on the live stream and no one can just tune into the live stream and answer or respond. Even I didn't have, a response for it. But it begs the question. If no one's questioning, then you're not doing yourself a service to to do any research behind the matter.
Well, it's all psychological things too. Like, a lot of people will say Bitcoin needs to go to this level so that whatever they're buying, it's so that they can justify their spend. That's all it really is. Yep. Like, other than that, tell me fucking why does it have to go down further? Tell me by on-chain data, by the wallets holding, by the wallets accumulating, by the people that already sold for a loss, the people that's already capitulated, the little catalyst that, well, not little, they were huge, but the cancerous catalyst that's was out there in our markets that were very fucking wrong. And like, regardless, I dabbled in it. A lot of us dabbled in it. Some of us made money. A lot of us got wrecked. I'm talking about Celsius. I'm talking about BlockFi. I'm talking about fucking all these high interest, all these Terra. Super DeFi, Terra, especially Terra. Yep. But all these were very, very unhealthy cancers that ultimately, very truthfully, needed to go. They needed to go. Like you said, they needed to go. All of these scams within the scams within the scams, which are out there. They have scammers trying to scam the scammers and the scammers. Like, they all need to fucking go. And a lot of them have gone. Not all of them, of course. You can't flush all of it. But a lot of the bad catalysts, those really fucked up things, are gone. Now, we are seeing Tornado Cash was definitely not good. But, that is – but what – like, I'm trying to think, and I don't know it all. There's just no way to know 13,000 different tokens and their protocols and what the fuck they do and all these other exchanges and DeFi platforms as well. But like, what other real catalysts? I will say I have one concern, and it's Lido. Like, that's a big concern for me, because whenever there's a large lump sum of liquidity anywhere, there's always a danger to be had, right? But we've already gotten rid of, you know, all these super unhealthy things. Where's it going to come? Who's going to capitulate right now even more? Who's going to sell for a loss right now? If you look at the 200 SMA on the weekly on Bitcoin, nobody would sell for a loss if you just look at that, right? Like price action comes down to 200 SMA. Usually, historically, that's a good place to be buying. Yeah. You know, so who's going to sell right now? Like, what knucklehead's going to short it at where we're at right now? Long term, at least. Like, short term, I get it. Like, you short term scalpers and stuff like that, whatever. But, like, I'm saying, like, for the real holders, the real big money, the ones that are not, like, you know, the big money, the whales. I don't know. I don't know. Why would they do it now?
They wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, if they're firm believers in it, then no, they wouldn't.
Yeah, and the sellers, the people that had the money before, they're not doing it now. They're going to do it when price accumulates even more. They're going to wait for it to go back up so that these wells can eat up and or down. They're not going to sell the bottom. They're not going to stick their face in the sand just to get some more shrimp. Like, they'll just wait. But I know, that's my bias. Like, honestly, sometimes when I say that kind of stuff out loud, I kind of feel like I'm being a little biased and whatnot. But that's my theory. I'm sticking with it. Like, you know, like, could be wrong. Hopefully, yeah. I'm not.
Now, not for nothing, you know, the bearish narrative I could see is a price, an action pattern forming between December of 2019 into January. Looking at how, you know, we traded from the top, starting in July of 2019, you know, falling down, you know, into the end of the year and then having a relief rally only to rip all the way down to, you know, to the very bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could be heading up on that, you know, up to that top, which would coincide with the relief rally that, you know, that happened in 2001 with Amazon ripping all the way the fuck down.
Yeah,
that's not to say that this will go ahead and rip all the way down, but there's, you know, there's your narrative. Mm-hmm. It would line just in time for Russia to, you know, dick around with the oil markets. I mean, word on the street is they've stopped oil, you know, flowing into certain parts of Europe already. You know, winter's coming.
We turned that back on, did it not? I don't know. I thought I covered it before. I thought that there was a lot of concern with that.
I hadn't checked
or whatever. I thought they turned it back on. That's what I thought, but I could be wrong.
Because what I found.
Go ahead.
I was going to say what I found interesting was, you know, how that was announced like pretty much the same day. The Secretary of the Treasury announced that that they were sanctioning Tornado Cash.
Yeah, dude, it's all fucking, it's all played, dude. All
it's this like stuff no is such specific. Thing as coincidence, right?
Yeah, dude, it's all, dude. Nobody can convince me that like this stuff just happens coincidentally at the same time all the fucking time. Like, just no way. There's no way. It's all, it's a hand being played. It is what it is, dude. Like, man, it's the ebbs and flows. It's the growth, you know, and maturity phase that we're going through right now. And it's regulation. And unfortunately, we need regulation. We need them to do what they're doing. And we just, you know, the name of the game is just survive. Right now in the bear market, that's all it is survive the fucking bear market. They don't last forever. In all markets, in all, like, go look at any of the indexes. Go back and look at Bitcoin forever from its entirety, right? The bear markets, they don't last forever. Just survive. If you can, different strokes, different folks. Some of you guys gotta like pull the string, and I get it. But for the vast majority of people, survive.
I told myself in 2018, you know, when the well at the top of 2017 when you know shit started crashing, because I got fucking wrecked that year. I got mm-hmm. wrecked. I'm not gonna lie. And I sat the rest, you know, the next 4 years, you know, studying price action, you know, to try and figure out, you know, my next move, you know, when I had an opportunity to jump back in the market. And I told myself, you know, that I'm not leaving. I'm going to trade my way down. You know, if we're in the bear market, all right, I'm going to trade my way down. I'm not running around, you know, running away like a little bitch like the last time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to continue pushing. This is my time to learn how to trade tops and bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm licking my wounds from the, you know, from the May crash. You know, I think a lot of us are.
That was a really unfortunate thing. Like, again, in hindsight, which, you know, kind of sometimes, I guess, in how you're using it, can definitely be beneficial. But in hindsight, there was definitely some writings on the wall that maybe a lot of people probably should have been paying more attention to. But, you know, all of us got caught up in some point. I remember I used to say on the streams, there's never a good time to get into Luna. There's just never. Whenever you looked at the damn chart, it was like, fuck, you know, like, do I buy it here or do I buy it up there? Because I feel like I'm just going to buy it up there.
Yeah, you know what gives me goosebumps? Comparing Luna's price chart to BitConnect. It's like a spitting image.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's a spitting image. I mean, I was sitting in the Telegrams, and they're like throwing the BitConnect memes, you know, with that bald-headed dude, you know, like, it's a scam. You know?
BitConnect!
Hey. I just shrugged it off. You know, I figured, you know, let me just work on my trading indicators and let me see what that's telling me. You know, and I'll just stick to the fundamentals. And yeah, that's what got me up here. You said that you're a fundamentalist.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know,
it was fundamentals that got me fucked because, you know, I figured to stick to the fundamentals will save me, you know?
Yeah.
And I got these knuckleheads on Twitter saying, we are the peg. And yeah, look what happened.
Yeah. Oh, nice peg, fuckers.
Stick that peg up your ass.
Yeah. What are you using that peg for? I'll tell you what you can use it for.
I still appreciate the technology behind Terra and, you know, what they had going on, but I should have been paying attention to what my math was saying.
Yeah, all of us. Nina, did you have something you wanted to say real quick?
Yeah, it's actually real quick because I'm supposed to be working. This let's say that this is part of the work. but yeah, actually what you guys were saying about like not leaving the game, I mean, you do what you have to do, but in my personal experience, like I was very. No.
Sorry, it might have been me. Did I lose? Did I lose?
No. She's fading out. I thought it was me too.
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry, Nita. What was it?
So I was saying that actually I was very, very hurt in May because I was that week that everything happened. I had everything on UST, like most of the savings that I had in different chains, I passed them to UST because I had to off ramp a lot of money to pay like some debts, some hospital bills for my family, a lot of things. And then that happened. And of course I was not able, to save much. I lost even the initial investment that I did. And with little things, like the little pennies basically that I had left, right now I'm like 20% there of the initial investment that I had. And of course it's much lower. Of course you have to like train yourself, educate yourself a lot and try to take like very calculated risks. That's why I think that this space is really, really useful. And I like to listen to you in the mornings because I think that this kind of education is needed. And if you have the option, the ability, and the, I would say like the nerves, because you have to have like iron nerves in all of these, then just stick around and try to do something, because what we were saying, bear markets are not forever. And you actually can maybe get something back. But again, you do you.
Yeah, for sure. Loop Finance is going to kill me. They're going to be like, let Nina work, damn it. She's supposed to be working. but, you know, I do. We had another speaker come up for 34. Give me one second. But I want to, you know what really saved me? I got burnt a little bit as well, guys. But what really saved me was being ultra conservative, even with my stables. I know a lot of personal good buddies and even people in the IBC, you know, that are just members that maybe I don't even, like, they've all posted the same story. Like, people got rinsed because they were, like, even one of my main mods, Bren, right? Like, it's such a bad feeling when you're doing your job, you're thinking you're being good, you're in a stable, and your stable fucking kills you. Like, what the hell? Like, what are you supposed to think, right? I know people that lost it all, but I just want to tell you guys, one of the things that saved me, and I practice this a lot, is diversifying. I'm air quoting because there's really like no thing as diversification in crypto. But splitting up your stables, like don't just put all your eggs into USDC. put them all over the place, guys. I had stuff during the crash that was admittedly in UST, which sucked. I had to make a call. I think I got out. I forget what it was, but it was like at an 85% or whatever. So I took a small little hit. It was like 15 or whatever it is, what it was. But definitely not as much as like a lot of other people with my stable. But I was in GUSD. I was in USDT. I was in UST, like I said, USDC. I was in, you got to split it up. Split that shit up so that you don't have all of your liquidity sitting on one target, because once that gets smoked, that shit sucks. That sucks. So that really did save me. When you guys are making your stable bags, please, just something to think about. Diversify your stable bags. I don't care if you just like one stable more than the other and like you whatever. That's fine. You can be in sketchy little stables, but move them. Move a little bit into like DAI. Move a little bit into, you know, USDC. Hell, put a little bit. I don't care what you feel about with USDT. It worked so far. Put a little bit into USDT too. Like, hell, it's just a good idea. 34, I'm sorry, bud. What you got?
Nah, I was just here listening. Are you guys overseas, which is why like you guys are all in stables?
I'm here in the States. I'm here in the States, man.
Why are you holding stables then?
Because I have enough and I want to get into certain stables. Or I want to use some of it to get into certain DeFi applications. I don't want to keep making transactions into UST or USD.
Got it.
Everybody's going to have, and as well, that's a good, and I do want to point that out. That's a good question. And I will say everybody has their own different strokes, different folks, right? Like what works for you and what meets your desires and needs and how you invest and or trade or do things. Like if it works for you, let it work for you. If some people need to be in stable, some people need to be, you know, I know some people that they don't care about the taxable event at all. In any kind of situation, they trade for it to trade it, and they'll pay it, and they just think making money is making money, which is absolutely true. If you're making money, hey, pay your taxes. You're fine with that. Do whatever. But yeah, that's a good question.
It's not. I'm just saying from as far as taxes go, but I mean, like here in the States, I get it. You're using it. You're utilizing it in different protocols. But I don't know if like if you're in the United States. Like, what's the risk of like holding stable coins just for the sake of holding them, right? I don't know. Well, that's just my take on it. I just think from like a risk standpoint, like if you're just keeping cash on the sidelines, like listen, if you're overseas, I get it. Like a lot of people are using USDT and USDC, and it's been very helpful for them, especially with what's going on with other people's currencies. But like if you're in the US, like why would you take the chance of like keeping a bunch of money in USDC or USDT and then... You're just putting yourself into so much unnecessary risk. I feel like if you could just keep it in cash in the US dollar. But again, like from what you were saying, I get it. Like you actually have a purpose for holding cash.
Well, as a statesman, I can, you know, I can kind of add to, you know, with my experience, you know, because I'm like on bank number three now, trying to on-ramp my, you know, the fiat that I, you know, that I mine with a regular job. It's painstaking. It's a nightmare. You know, having to close my bank accounts and moving to another bank just to get into the system. You know, just to get into crypto, because they've been blocking me left and right. You know, when it comes to trying to on-ramp onto a centralized exchange like Coinbase or Kraken, you know, if the deposit or the purchase fails, they'll remove, you know, that information from the account. They may flag your account, you know, for fraud, you know, and then you can't use the platform at all, you know, and then, you know, price rips, and then you've missed out opportunity cost wise, you know, on any potential gains that you could have been if you were already in the system, you know, if you were already, you know, with your money on chain. So by sticking with stables on chain, like right now, I got stables in Kusama. I have the ability to leverage any, you know, any trades that I, you know, that I want. I wouldn't say that any trade, you know, on the planet, but, you know, with whatever is available on the protocols, you know, being able to move throughout the Polkadot network, you know, to play around in their Karura or their Akala DeFi platforms, you know, which kind of reminds me of, you know, Kava and Anchor Protocol and Mars. trying to split out and being able to bridge, you know, my DOT over to Osmosis and, you know, trade into, you know, USD Tether or USDC, you know, it gives me a lot more of opportunity to, you know, get in on the trades when I, you know, when I otherwise couldn't.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, yeah, I was in
a fluid.
I'm trying to remember what the, it was a couple of discords that I was, you know, bitching about, you know, my experience. Just the other day, Adam, you know, fell to a price correction, you know, down to $10.70, you know, just maybe a little bit lower depending on which exchange you were on. But my deposit was blocked. My deposit was blocked. You know, I tried to, you know, do a direct deposit. That's not going to take effect till, you know, till another 2 weeks or so, you know, for like biweekly, you know, paychecks and things like that, you know, for the deposit to actually get in. And hopefully it will get in, you know, in that time. But I missed out on a 10% move, at least a 10% move. Obviously, it ripped a little bit, you know, higher, because from $10.70, look at where it's trading now. What, $11.80-something cents? You know, over a dollar per each, you know, share. And I couldn't even, you know, get in on that. But with some, you know, some stables that I already have on chain, gives me the opportunity to borrow against the stables that I have, you know, to buy in and, you know, enjoy this price action, you know, for some, you know, for some quick atom. I could trade in the Juno, you know, and move on to, you know, to a new network and continue my exposure to, you know, the systems as they're continually getting developed and, you know, setting themselves up for a run in the market. I can't, you know, I can't otherwise get that if we have such regulation that the banks are preventing ACH, you know, deposits, or, you know, they're blocking credit or debit card purchases of crypto, you know, from a centralized exchange or any other on-ramp platform. It's a pain in the ass. If it was smoother, then I could, you know, I could see where you're coming from. But even as, you know, even as a statesman, I run into the issues of understanding that my money is not my money when it's in the bank.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, I mean, I hear you. I haven't experienced that. I'm not as deep into all this as you guys are, but like I use a couple major exchanges and I mean, I'm able to transfer money instantly. I haven't had any issues, so which is why I haven't gone that in this direction. I did, you know, I did hold a little USD. I did just stake it just to kind of learn about it. I did hold some Luna just as a speculation. I mean, I've used USDT to trade, but other than that, like I purposely haven't found. But again, like I'm not as deep into this as you. I'm just learning.
Yeah, no, it was a good question though, and Madman, that was a really good response. I mean, it truthfully what it is, right? It's like just the ability to be fluid enough and to make those moves is. It's valuable. It's really, I said it a long time. I should actually make another YouTube videos talking about like what I look for as far as like DEXs or AMMs when I want to dabble in it. You know, and one of those biggest things when I was talking about it though was the ability to be fluid within those DEXs or to go in and out of those DEXs on top of that with some stables, right? Like you cannot do that, especially like right now we don't, you know, with Osmosis in the Cosmos ecosystem, you can't just come with your USD. You have to buy either Atom on a Kraken or Coinbase and all this stuff and transfer in and then do what you got to do to get into some pairs or whatever you're going to do, right? But if you have a stable or if you have, you know, anything of that variation, you can just kind of easily move whenever you want to move. So that was a really good question. Really, really good question for sure. But yeah, is there anybody else that wants to bring up? This turned into be a really good discussion, by the way. What's up, Cosmos Spaces? What's up, guys? If anybody else wants to come up and talk about anything or has any questions at all, it's always open and free. All you guys got to do is raise your hand. We can get you guys up here, talk about anything, guys. Anything at all that's happening. One thing that I was really, really actually, now I'm thinking about it, that I like to talk about is anybody super, super bullish or has anybody checked out? Maybe Jacob's checked it out. What's up, Jacob? I see you, buddy. Have you guys checked out the DAO update? Didn't they come up with, isn't it today? Yes, no? Is anybody following DAO?
Surely not.
No? I'm so interested in what's happening with DAO and several of these other platforms, especially when it comes to NFTs, right? Like, obviously, we have Nina here with Loop and stuff like that, but there you go, Jacob. Tell us, you know what's going on with DAO, right?
All right. So they are launching the token soon. I think yes. And with that said, they're doing something different with the token. They're not gonna airdrop it to everybody at first. As of right now, they're gonna airdrop it to people who contribute to DAO, and as time passed, they're gonna airdrop it to other members. But what I'm excited for is the view on contract to be live.
Yeah. Are you talking about when you say contribute to DAO? Are you talking about like people who actually have are members of DAOs or have made DAOs?
They haven't so far. What they have said is the people who provide coding or like the were involved in a DAO by like contributed like in the marketing aspect or any of that sort. But I don't know if they're gonna airdrop to people who did create a DAO or multi-sig yet.
Interesting.
They should answer all this question from the Twitter space. I think
didn't Sito have Jake on his show?
Yeah, but he didn't answer that question you asked though.
But
based on the YouTube video, the airdrop will be for people who contribute, people who contribute code, people who did help promote DAO, or like any core contributor to DAO, like any other team, or any people who contribute to the Cosmos at large. Oh yeah, so it's not just DAO, but anybody who contributes. So that's interesting.
What a vague way to put that, though, right?
Yes.
Go ahead though. You had something else you were gonna say?
Yeah, I'm saying they say they're gonna like fund other DAO to launch on DAO. So if you're doing something cool, they might swap their token with you. Yeah, they're doing some that's experiments. Cool. I'm gonna wait to see what happens, but I'm excited for the tech though.
Yo, for sure. So am I. Like that's what I was getting at. So am I. But it, you know, isn't that's such a great way to put it? Isn't it all just a big experiment, right? Like especially DAO, like. Isn't that just so innovating and groundbreaking? It's like just basically a big experiment to see what happens. I like the fact that they have they're opened up at least to funding. I did hear that when I was listening earlier to Sito's. I don't listen to a lot. I'll be dead honest. I don't listen to a lot of other YouTubers. But when I see stuff like DAO and Jake actually coming up and talking about it, because he doesn't do a lot of interviews as it is. I definitely had to tune in kind of because I've been wanting to see what happens with DAO. But I did hear that part where they have, opened up the thoughts of being able to fund other projects with it. So that was cool to hear. I do want to say, what's up, Ryu, by the way? I do want to say, did anybody get down to if Don Krypton, was he being real when he was like saying fuck you to Jake?
Which Jake? Jake Atto?
No, Jake Hart with DAO.
Wait, really?
Did you not see his do y'all know what I'm talking about? When he I don't know, because that's him, like, right? He plays around a lot and says shit, but it was on like CryptoCito's, I think it was like some random Cosmoverse tweet or something like that. And then it was like in the comments down below, he was saying something about DAO coming over there and being there at the verse. And then like Don just popped in underneath it and was like, by the way, fuck you, Jake. And I was like, what? Everybody was like, Jacob from Notional, Sito, everybody was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it looked like, I don't know, so I'm not creating FUD, but I'm just curious because if he was trying to be funny in his kind of like passive aggressive way or whatever, I'm still confused because even like Liam and everybody was like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, he's the nicest dude in the world. And I think what it was, and I'm just, again, I'm grasping at straws. I don't know the truth, but I think what it was is apparently like he had asked Jake to come on his show for an interview. And, you know, like I said, he doesn't do very many of those kind of type of interviews as far as I know, as it is. And so apparently, I guess he didn't like get a response back. So like he was like being like, I don't know, passive aggressive and saying, fuck you for not coming on my show or never coming on his show. And I was like, okay. What's up, Nina? Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know how I end up involved in that tweet, in that thread. Yeah. But that was so weird because I don't know who's the other guy, to be honest.
Have you never watched Dawn?
No, I don't think so.
You've never watched Dawn Krypton? He's a validator.
No.
he's involved in a validator now for Juno and for Adam now. Is why he's
never heard of him.
No, right?
Oh, you guys gotta watch him.
Never heard. Yeah, I have never heard about him. And then never when I saw that, Cito, he even texted me like, "Yo, is he like joking with us? Do you know?" And I was like,
"Exactly, right?" Like even Cito was like, "Bro, what the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah, like is that a bad joke?
Yeah,
I'm not getting like maybe his humor, and I was like, I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, that's so weird because I know I even met Jake when I was in Austin, mm-hmm. and he's super nice.
That's what everybody says. Everybody says he's like the nicest dude, right? Like he doesn't jump into that shit with everybody. And like I said, he rarely does interviews. He just head down, he's fucking working and doing shit. And like, it was so out of left field. And I was like, way to burn a bridge. Like he's a really... Like, I don't know, like, there's several important dudes, right? But, like, bro, why would you fuck with Jake? Like, I was just like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, that was weird because actually he's super supportive in everything. He gives you feedback. He is super nice. So I was like, what is going on? I thought it was a joke, but I was very confused.
Yeah.
Everything turned a little bit for Cosmoverse at the end. I don't know how.
Yeah, it's dark. Like, I don't know. You guys got to watch. If you don't know, like, look, it's for me, I'm very outspoken, kind of like sometimes I feel like a black sheep or whatever, because I do things differently, right? Like I don't take sponsorships. I don't take any of that stuff because I want to be able to speak freely. Like, you know, I want to be a regular person. I just want, that's what I want. Like, I want to take the slow road. I want to be in the mud with the people because that's just where I relate. That's where I am. Right. And it's nothing against anybody else, like, it, you know, these YouTubers, these content people on Twitter and stuff like that, like, hey, you take sponsorships and positions and stuff like, that's fine, you do you, you got to do what you got to do, right, whatever. But like I like being that way. So I don't know, when I make my YouTube videos, I like being able to just be me, and if I rub somebody wrong, like, I don't mean to, but fuck it at the same time, because that's me, that's like, that's just me. And I can always knowingly and transparently say, like, you know, that's not coming from some weird skewed partnership or like business agreement or some kind of like, you know, sponsorship or whatever it is. But Don, like, my point is I like being able to be in that position and say whatever I want to say. Don does the same shit. He'll just say things that, I don't know if he just doesn't give a shit, but he just says things and he says it. And it's like, I kind of respect him for that. But now that he's a validator, it's a totally different game, in my opinion. Like, you're right. Like, you're attached to two major validator nodes, both one in Juno. And I think he might have another one, but he has one in Juno, one in Atom. And that's some serious shit. Like, when you are not just a talking head on YouTube giving your opinion, but you're an active participant in making sure that code and governance is applied from the people or for the people, like, totally different game. So when he comes out and says those kind of things, I go, oh man, like, why would you do that? As a business standpoint, I was like, why would you say that about somebody that is literally in the core, like, co-founder of Juno, like one of the core founders of Juno, and you validate on his chain, like, or not, I guess not his chain, but on the chain he helped create. I was like, this, why would you do that?
Anyway. Yeah, I think that requires a lot of personality, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But also you are so right. Like, whenever you are like representing some like brand or anything, like, you have to be much more careful. And also, like, people are watching, like, they actually pay attention. And if you have certain kind of influence, you have to be very careful with words.
The IBC, fun. Everybody's watching.
Exactly. Yeah, this is one of the smartest communities and the most active in all crypto. Yeah. So it's like, okay, I don't know how you did, but yeah. So we just turned the topic. We focused on Cosmoverse at the end.
Yeah. It's like everybody on that thread was like, and Cosmoverse anyway. No, that does seem, I'm not going to be able to go. I have a convention for my wife that we go to all these medical conventions that my wife's a doctor and we have our own practice and office. And unfortunately, I got some other commitments to do, but it sounds like a lot of people are going to go. A lot of people are going to have a lot of fun. One of these days, if it's in the States, I don't want to say too much alpha. I can't just yet, actually. And I think I just did right now, but I'm working on a couple of things. And if it ever does, if there ever is a meetup or a Cosmoverse one day that's in the States, or maybe even IBC gang convention or something like that, I'll definitely be going to that. But yeah, I just to go back to Domino Chat, I really, for me personally, guys, if you ever find yourself on my show, it's because I want to learn more. And I feel like other people need to know more about the platform or what you're working on or stuff, or I just find you an interesting person. I like having that transparency and that ability to just move whenever I want to move and do whatever I want to do. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's been super interesting lately in the social side of the Cosmos ecosystem. A lot of crazy stuff. And I'm just so glad I'm free and clear of that stuff. I'm never going to deal with that. I'm just that. It's such a weird time. Such a weird, weird time.
I think they just lost the token for DAO happening on top of there.
What was that?
I think they just launched the token for DAO.
They just launched it?
Yeah, they just sent a tweet right now.
Damn it. I gotta go. I'm like in the car lane ready to pick up my boys from school. Every single time I'm sitting in this car lane on a Spaces, something happens that I want to go home to do. I need to go get that, damn it.
Yeah, I actually just jumped into speaker mode because I was about to mention that, but yeah.
Damn it, Ryu, you're supposed to tell me. Interrupt me, man.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? But you know me.
No, but again, if anybody else wants to talk about anything else, I will admit we've been up here for a little while now. I got a couple more minutes until my boys actually get released and the monsters are free from school. But yeah. If anybody wants to add anything before we do wrap it up, let me know.
Well, since we were talking about bad things, how about Echelon?
How about, no, I don't want to, we don't need to talk about that. We don't need it. They're okay. Dead to us.
We don't have to talk about that.
Dead to us.
Yeah.
I did want to ask really quickly while I have a moment. I know you were in the SIF chain meeting. Anything happening over there?
Yeah, but not sure if I'm supposed to talk about it.
Oh, well, damn you. Don't get in trouble. Don't say anything if you're not supposed to say anything. I popped in for a brief moment, but again, I had to go do some other things, but yeah.
Yeah, they do organize some fun, community shows at the moment. Well, not at the moment, but, occasionally. And yeah, you totally should go check it out. You already did yesterday, Ira.
Oh, dude. What's her face? Nomad? Is a fucking savage. That girl is a savage with community organization and doing fun events, dude. She's been doing, like, we did the Jeopardy test run, me, Bren, and a couple others late last night. It was so much fun. She does so much fun little things. Anyway, like, that girl is a workhorse, man. I really wish I could, one of these days, I'm going to bait her in and try to lock her down in the IBC Discord and be like, look, you need to host and do fun community things in our Discord. I don't care if I have to pay for it. She's worth it. She does great work over there. But yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
She really does. She really does. Anybody else? Anybody else? Any other topics real quickly? Nina, did you wanna brief anybody again with Luke real fast for anybody that just came in with the Traders Mint or anything?
Oh yeah.
Nina dropped for me. Not sure if she did for you guys.
You're muted.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, that's better now.
I was going to say that now I'm going to put my hat of Loop to talk to you. So before I didn't have it, I wasn't here, okay?
Yeah, now you're putting it on.
Yes. So again, guys, we had to reschedule the launching of the NFT marketplace. It's basically we're testing it more. We're making sure that it's secure, that we, you guys have the best experience, and also that we have the best experience. We don't want to be like all over the place. And yeah, so also we're super happy because we got a bunch of people that are new to Cosmos, new to Juno, just because of the launching of the marketplace. That was something super beautiful. And we prepare a bunch of content through the LoopLearn side about how to set your Kepler wallet, how to fund your Kepler wallet, all of that, that I think is going to also help you guys whenever you want to onboard more people. So you can find that already in our YouTube channel. And we're going to be sharing it around. And because we know that we're making you wait, and that's not fair, and we also love all the support that you guys have been giving us, then we are going to do a little, like some small giveaways here and there. You'll see more about that. That's all the alpha I can give you guys. Nice. And also, Tank, let me know whenever you want to have a meetup. I'm all about that. I love that. Actually, in New York, I live in New York. And we have a bunch of them. Tonight we have one. And yeah, I'm happy. If anyone comes around New York, let me know. We're always happy to meet. And we have a bunch of builders here. So let's do that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I got some things that I'm working on. And I've been trying to do a lot of, I can't say any more of that. I've been working on a couple of things. But yeah, I definitely want to get a convention-ish or a meetup, or call it kind of like a IBC reunion of sorts, kind of deal going on. I live here in Tennessee, so not too far from New York, but we'll definitely get something going here soon, and I'll definitely let everybody know. In the meantime, guys, be on the lookout for those giveaways from Loop. They are going to be letting us know here shortly. Even I don't know anything, but I'm patiently waiting for your guys' marketplace to open up, and a week is not that long. It's less than a week. It's not that long at all. And then I guess if just for being patient, you guys might get your opportunity at a giveaway. So super, super excited about that, guys. I appreciate you guys tuning in for the short time that we had to talk. I thought we had great discussions, and I try to do this each and every day in the afternoon. I don't know exactly what set time I'll be doing them, but be on the lookout for them because I'm trying to make this a regular thing for anybody that can't catch the morning show. But yeah, guys, good conversations. You guys take care. Have a good rest of your day. I'll see you guys next time.
Peace.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was All Things Cosmos, the IBC Gang, hosted by Crypto Tank, recorded on Thursday, August 11th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Waking up like a basement dweller, stepped out the door and heard racists yelling. 2020, what an ugly shit show. Staring at the fucking Rickroll from the get-go. Looking outside, the whole state's on fire. The fuck do you expect when you embrace the liars and replace the writers with AI just like us? Emaciated models killing bright birds. First in, last out, picture me rolling. The worst time to cash out, so what you holding? The Merc's gonna cash cow, country stolen. Drooling over chicken like the goose is golden. Trying to be soulful, spitting that molten lava from the bottom of the caldera. I'm hot and gonna put it in a bottle and offer it to the god who hit the gas full throttle, blasting off in a rocket.
The many people who will see things happen to them that are in their favor. So someone's looking over me. That's a fascinating phenomenon when that happens. And when you analyze those situations, what you find is that we as humans simply have a profound inability to understand statistics and probability.
Stitching these writings, living that life like, who would have guessed you turn out this nice, right? Avoiding stress, that's the motherfucking secret. Print that shit on a motherfucking leaflet. I'm just an asshole hooked on the bricks. Looking at the rectangles, damn, they kinda thick. We've gone through a whole lot of kings here. Cutting off heads just to bring cheer. Getting all fired up, Tiger King, line them up. When you'd give an arm and a leg just to try the junk on some first time buyer's luck. Alexa, set a reminder and remind me to buy a
to budge. And put your hands up if you fuck this year, and keep them in the air if you're picking up the spare. And put your mask on just to go outside, looking at the planet about to downsize.
So climate change will not make Earth uninhabitable. Climate change will make Earth a living hell. In fact, I live in New York City, where in our harbor we have the Statue of Liberty. If you melt the water ice that's on land, the ocean level will rise to reach her left elbow. That takes out all of New York City. And basically every other coastal city that we've spent thousands of years building since the dawn of civilization.
Terra Spaces.